All right, we're holding on to some Hey Ahmed Bey's five lines from the bottom. We left off that we had a machlokas, Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Ila. Person stole. We know the Torah tells us that you have a double payment for regular from regular gneva, four or five for for an ox or a sheep, and he stole it or shechted it. So Rabbi Ila discussed what happens if a person steals a baby, a calf. What happens? A person steals a calf, and in his possession, it grew and became a and became an ox. Or he stole a baby lamb, and in his possession, it turned into a ram. Is that enough? Now we know there's a concept which we're going to discuss in more detail in today's Gemara about a shinui, that a change to an object causes that now the ganav has acquired it. So usually we say that that shinui is to the extent that actually he owns it completely, and all he has to do is repay its value. Here, Rashi says we don't necessarily mean that. We just mean the kind of shinui that would make it where now, if he shechts it or sells it, then it's considered his own animal that he's doing it to. So Rabbi Ila says just that he's chayev there. He's not chayev, therefore, for the tvicho mechira, for the four or five times for the shechting or selling it, because at this point it's already his animal. And then Rabbi Chanina disagreed with him and said it's not so, and brought a braisa to that effect. So the Gemara says mikol makom kasha. So in any case, we have a question from the Braisa on Reb Ila. Now, before we did say Reb Ila, according to one explanation of Rishonim, Reb Ila was saying that the Braisa was mistaken, that there's obviously he had shown, according to his own logic, that there's something wrong with the wording in the Braisa, and therefore maybe it's not such an accurate Braisa to ask a question from. Nevertheless, though, the Gemara is not really satisfied with that answer. And we want to find a way that the Braisa is valid, and nevertheless, it's not going to contradict Rabbi Ila. So, Amar Rav Shesh has Hamani Beis Shammai. The answer is that this Braisa would be specifically according to Beis Shammai. And of course, that means that the halacha is generally not going to be like it. Beis Shammai says that a shinui, it's still considered that the thing still remains in its original place, and therefore that he's not koine it. Unlike we said before, that a shinui can acquire the object for the ganav, and now he has to, and generally a shinui would be such that he only has to pay the value, not the actual object itself. But here Beis Shammai disagrees with that whole concept and says just because there was a shinui to something doesn't change its status at all. So the Tanya, and then therefore v'loy koni, so therefore he's not koneh, so that Braisa would be saying therefore that even though he stole a lamb and now it became a ram, etc., nevertheless we wouldn't say that acquires that for him, and therefore not like Rabbi Ila, when he shechts it or he sells it, it wouldn't be considered his that he's shechting or selling. But that's fine, because Rabbi Ila is talking according to the final halacha, which would be according to Beis Hillel, whereas Beis Shammai, and it's only Beis Shammai that would be disagreeing. The Tanya we learn in a Braisa. Now we have like this. We know the Torah tells us in Parshas Ki Tse, Loi Sovi Esnan Zoyna Mechir Kelev. You're not allowed to bring the fee of a Zoyna or the exchange of a dog. Fine, we're not getting into the exchange of the dog here in our Sovia. You're not allowed to bring them as korbanos. Meaning, in other words, a man wants to be Mezana with a, one wants to commit Znus with a Zoyna. And he gives her something as the fee. That something is not allowed to be used as a korban, the Torah tells us. So now, what happens? Nosam lo chitin be'esnana, nosam lo be'esnana chitin. What if he gave her for the esnan, for the fee, he gave her wheat, vasa'an solas, and he, or maybe she, vasa'atan, maybe it should be, into flour. So she ground them up and made them into flour. Can she now use that flour for a korban mincha? Zeis and Vasan Shemen. What if he gave her olives and she turned them into oil? Anovim Vasan Yayin, and or he gave her grapes and she turned them into wine. So is that flour or oil or wine allowed to be used for a korban? So Tony Chodah also Tony Chodah Mutter. One Braisa says that it's also to use them for a korban, and another one says that it's mutter. Now, what's the deal with these two Braises? So Rabbi Yosef said Guya, and that was his name, Measporak, from the name of a place. So that was the name of the place he came from. He taught a Braisa that the explanation why how these two Braises don't contradict is Beis Shammai Osir and Beis Hillel Masirin. The Braisa that says Osir was according to Beis Shammai, the Braisa that says Mutter was according to Beis Hillel. So my time of the Beis Shammai, why does Beis Shammai hold that even the flour from these wheat kernels, etc., is also dichtiv? Because they say, because the pasuk says you're not allowed to use them gam shnehem, also both of them. So Beis Shammai says the word gam means the rabbis shinuyehem, that comes to also include the shinuyim, the altered versions of them. So therefore, yes, the wheat that was turned into flour, etc., would also be also saved, says Beis Shammai. Or Beis Hillel, whereas Beis Hillel says, the fact is, the pasuk says shnehem, and we can break it off, we break it apart. Hem means them themselves, v'loy shinuyehem. So it doesn't mean they're shinui, it doesn't mean the altered versions of them. So only, in other words, if he had given her flour, then it would be also to bring that flour as a korban. But once it's been altered and made into something else, then you're allowed to use it as a korban. So Tosfos discusses, now we're going to discuss soon in the Gemara, the question of a shinui acquiring something for a ganav, and we're going to bring a different pasuk in that connection. We're just saying over here that the braisa that we said about stealing a lamb and now it becomes a ram is according to Beis Shammai. Later on, soon on Samach Vav Amud Aleph, we're going to bring a different source for the concept that a shinui makes a change to something. So Tosfos discusses, because there's a difference, there's two types of shinui, and there's a shinui that is never going to change back. For example, here, wheat ground into flour is never going to return to be wheat again, as opposed to later on, we're going to talk about a shinui hachozer libriyase, a shinui that can be turned back to the way it was originally. For example, later on in the Masechta, we're going to learn a case. Suppose a person steals boards of wood and makes them, let's say, into a box. All he has to do, you can't really say that's an irrevocable change. All you have to do is break apart the box and you have the same pieces of wood that you had before. As opposed to, for example, if he had taken pieces of wood and he had sanded them down, let's say that's different. You can never unsand them. So later on, the Gemara is going to be dealing with that kind of thing. Right now, here, Beis Shammai is dealing with that kind of irrevocable change, and they're saying that it still doesn't make a difference, and it's still also for a carbon. And Beis Hillel says it is because of the word hein. Beis Shammai, what does Beis Shammai answer back to that? They answer how who that shnehem means hein v'loy v'lo desehem u'da'osa. It means to teach us that only the things itself that he gave there, that he gave her, would be also as a carbon, but not the ones that are born from them. Meaning, so say he gives her an animal, and that animal later on becomes pregnant and gives birth to a baby, then Beis Shammai would say that baby is fine to bring as a korban. So Tosfos points out there can be a difference sometimes we do say that once an animal became posel for its korban, its baby itself is also usur. But that would, for one thing, that would be where she was pregnant already at the time when the thing happened, whereas here we don't necessarily have to be talking about that. But anyway, Tosfos also says, the fact is, Beis Hillel would say that the change from wheat into flour is a much greater change than a mother having a baby. Anyway, so Beis Hillel, that's what Beis Hillel would answer. Tauti shamas mina. Once you're learning, once you're agreeing with us that the word heim, the shnehem, the hem of shnehem, means that it means the thing itself without change, well then tauti shamat mina. Then automatically from that, you can derive both things. Heim v'loy shinuyehem, it means them and not their altered forms, so not the flour from the wheat. Heim v'loy v'loduseyem, and it also means them and not their babies, because either one is a change. So Beis Hillel says, after all, you can learn that from the pasuk. Anyway, the point is, however, the Gemara asks, so Beis Hillel hoksiv gam, the fact is, according to Beis Hillel, it says gam. Now, according to Beis Shammai, we're using the word gam to say that it means also the shinuyim. And by the way, they would understand the word shnehem to mean meloshin shinui. So gam shnehem, also their shinuyim. Now, according to Beis Hillel, the Gemara elsewhere explains that from Shnehem, we learn that it means they're saying there's only two kinds of things that are also not four. Namely, since the pasuk says Esnan of a Zoyna and Mechir of a Kelev, you would have thought the other way around as well. What about Mechir of a Zoyna? What if Reuven owns a Shifcho who's a Zoyna, and now he wants to trade her to Shimon for something else? Maybe that, uh, maybe, maybe that, uh, maybe that item used for the trade should be osir. So no, we're saying shnehem, only the two things mentioned in the pasuk, esnan zona and mechir kelev, but not the other way around. But anyway, the question is, what is Bishillel doing with the word gam? Or Bishillel hoksiv gam? And the answer is, you're right. Gam leBishillel kasha. You're right. It would be a question, according to Bishillel, why it says the word gam. It's true. You don't have an easy way of answering what exactly Bishillel would learn from that word. Hagos Ma'arav Ranchburg on the side over here says, now the Gemara does later on, we're actually going to have later on in our parak, and the Gemara discusses in other places in Shas, that you have a concept that the Esnan is always also Vafilo Bo Al Imoy. We're going to talk about later on in the parak, even if the man wants to be Mizana with his own mother, even though there's a Missus Bastin involved and so forth, nevertheless, we still say that when, and even though you would think that we put it this way, we wouldn't tell him. Rashi explains later on in that sugya what would happen in a regular case of a zoyna. Let's say she's not osur to him by Mrs. Beis Din. It's only an isur lav or something like that. If he doesn't give her the esnan, then in principle, we Beis Din would tell him, you know what? It's a deal. Deal's a deal. You did your part with her. Therefore, you had relations with her. Therefore, you owe her esnan. We're going to make sure they don't do that in the future because you did an isur. But nevertheless, we're still gonna put him on the hook. Now, what about if it was his own mother, where there's Mrs. Bastin? He's Meschaya Benafsha. So therefore, on the face of it, we would say, Kom Leba Dirabamine. Nevertheless, it may be true. We're not going to tell him to give that Esnan. Nevertheless, if he does give it, then it still becomes Esnan. So you could say, says Ma'agos Ma'arav Ranchburg, that maybe that's according to Bishillel. That's what the word Gam is coming to teach us. But he brings from the Maharam Rutenberg that says you wouldn't even need that. You have a different source for that, Exeter Shava on the word Tayeva. So therefore, so you wouldn't need the word gam for that. So we'd be left with the question, according to Bishillel, what we're doing with the word gam. Which the Torah Schaim says, it's after all, the Gemara is only saying it as a kasha, not as a tiyufta. We haven't slugged up Bishillel, because after all, they could say that there's a difference of shinui achoz or the b'riyosai versus not. Like we said before, when there's a shinui that's actually going to that can be changed back to, it's a reversible change, then Bishillel would agree that's not enough to make it mutter to be used as a carbon. Okay. Anyway, so the point is, so now the point is, we have Guri and Meir Spurak telling us that Beis Shammai holds that a change in an animal is not enough to, or change, for example, in wheat that it was turned into flour is not enough to take it out of the category of Esnan. Very well then, when Reb Chanina brought a Braisa that said that a person stole a lamb and now it grew up and became a ram in his possession, that if later on he shechts it or sells it, he's still going to be chayev for the four or five, very well, that would be according to Beis Shammai. So therefore, it's not a contradiction on Rebela. Well, the Gemara says, Ad kan like pligi, ella demar sova shinui koina, umar sova ein shinui koina. So what's the whole machloka so far between Rab Ila and Rab Chanina, or the Ravid says maybe between Beis Shammai and Bishillel, is just what kind of shinui is going to acquire the object for the ganav, or that's going to acquire the object for the zoyna. And make it therefore that it can or can't be brought as a korban. So the machlokas would just be: is the change from a lamb to a ram enough to make it now a different entity, and therefore that the concept, and therefore that we would say, like Reb Ila says, shaloi hu teveach, shaloi hu moicher, the animal that he's shechting or that he's selling is at this point his animal. So fine, that's the whole machlokas. Abel le'inyan shalumi, but at least when it comes to the actual payment, kula alma kedimayiku mishalim. It seems that everybody agrees that you pay according to the original value of the animal. Meaning, in other words, Reb Ila is going to say you're potter. He's potter from tashlumei dalad behei, but Reb Ila is going to agree that he is paying kefil. And Reb Ila seems to be saying that you're always going to pay according to what it was worth when it was stolen. Even if it went up or down in value. And according to Reb Chanina, when you're paying the tashlumei dalad behei, it's also going to be according to the value that it was when it was stolen. The problem with that is, The problem, dikatoni, and we know that because the Braisa says mishalom tashlume kefil, but tashlume abav chamisha ke'ein shagonav. The Braisa says that you pay them according to when he stole. So that being the case, lematevetiuf de derav. In that case, does this Braisa contradict Rav? The Amar Rav, Karen ke'ein shagonav, but Karen ke'ein shagonav. Mishalim and Tashlume Kefa, but Tashlume Dalit Beheka Shasam Lot of a Din. Rabbit said, we learned yesterday, that the Keren you pay according to the original value, and the Tashlume Kefa, Tashlume Dalit Behe, you pay according to the way it is later at the time of Hamod of a Din. But this Braisa is saying, now, according to Rav Chanina, definitely we should be following this Braisa, because he used it as a question on Rav Ila. Even according to Rav Ila, fine, that Braisa is according to Bais Shammai, he doesn't have to hold like it, but nevertheless, we don't see Bais Hillel arguing on the basic point that you pay according to the time of the Gneva. So wouldn't this Braisa contradict Rav? Now we learned yesterday what Rabbah had said about a case involving where Rabbah had brought a case on Samachayim and Aleph, a case where a person stole, let's say, a barrel of wine, and it was worth more by the time he broke it or drank it, and we make him pay the larger amount. This Braisa that says that you pay kishasag, that you pay ke'en shagonav according to what he stole, this Braisa wouldn't be a contradiction on Rabba. Rashi points out a little earlier on Samachayim and Beis, because he would say that the Braisa is specifically referring to the kefil and the dalad behay, and saying that you pay those according to the current event, saying that you pay those according to the original value. As far as the keren, it would depend on what he did to the animal, just like in Rabba's case, it would depend on what he did to the barrel of the wine, and therefore that he would be paying the keren variably depending the original amount or the current value, depending on what he did with it. So the Braisa is not a question on Rabba, but it is a question on Rav, who had said that, where Rav had said, across the board, keren ke'en shagonav, that when it comes to the keren, you always need to pay the full value that it was worth at the beginning. The question is rather on Rav, who had said that tashlume dalad behe, that tashlume kefil, and tashlume dalad behe, you pay according to the current value, whereas the Braisa over here is clearly saying that you pay those according to what it was worth when he stole it. So the answer is Omar Rava. So Rava says there's a difference how the person is paying. Tloyim committee hidme ikra. If the ganev is going to pay with actual sheep, so he stole a sheep, and in between now it grew up and became a ram, and he's going to pay with sheep, then we can say he stole a sheep, and therefore he's paying X number of sheep. So therefore, kidme ikra, then we'd go according to what it was worth when he stole it. And at the time when he stole it, it was a lamb, it was a baby sheep. Therefore, that's the number he's paying. Domim kishal achshav, on the other hand, if he wants to pay with money, then he has to pay according to the current value. What the current value would have been if he hadn't shechted or stolen the animal. So that Braisa is not contradicting Rav, because it's talking about where he's paying with animals, as opposed to Rav was talking about where he pays with money. Now Tosfos goes on to explain that. Now, we discussed in the Gemara yesterday the cases. We have a few different possible cases how it is that the animal could go up and down in value. We could be talking about where it became fatter or it became skinnier. And within that, we can talk about whether the ganav himself made it fatter by fattening it up, or made it skinnier by overworking or beating it. And then you can have the case of yoikra v'zoila, where it just went up and down because of price fluctuations, nothing to do with the actual condition of the animal. So Tosfos says that when the person is paying with, the reason why the Gemara is making that distinction, the reason why Rav is making this distinction between whether he's paying with sheep or with money, is because if he's paying with sheep, then And after all, we had the logic yesterday in the Gemara on Samachayim and Beis that he can say, look, I didn't steal a ram from you. I stole a lamb from you, and therefore I should be paying only on that basis. So by the same token, then, when the animal itself becomes skinny or fatter, if it becomes fatter, then he can say, look, I didn't steal a fat animal from you. There's no reason I should have to pay you four or five fat animals, for example. When it comes to dummim, then you can't really say that. What are you going to say? I didn't steal a more expensive animal from you. The fact is, it doesn't work that way. And Tosfos goes on to discuss this point. And then it brings from Rabbeinu Tam that the word tloyim kedmi ikra means that the Braisa is not discussing the difference of how he pays. What it means is when the Braisa talks about tlev and nasa ayil, means that we're talking about the animal went up in value because a ram is worth more than a baby sheep. And the same way, when it becomes worth more, when to begin with it was worth one, so as now it's worth four, so now that kind of thing, Rav is not going to say we're going to be machmir so much and we're going to make him pay four or five times the extra amount, as Rav had said that's not the case where Rav would say that we go with the tashlum edal of the hay according to the current value. When Rav says that you do, it's talking about the other way around, when it went down in value. So here we had yesterday in the discussion in the Gemara whether in fact we say that Rav's din applies whether it went up or whether it went down in value. So now Rabbeinu Tam is saying, in fact, the Gemara is still sticking with the understanding that Rav is not talking about where it goes up in value, only where it goes down in value. With the difference, though, he says that there would be a difference if, as we learned yesterday, he himself actually caused it to become weaker by overworking it or by beating it, then we wouldn't say that heter, because then, like we said yesterday, mali kopla kula, mali kopla palga, on the contrary, we would say you already started the process of killing the animal, you're not going to get more off the hook because you did that. So that's that as far as that discussion of what we do as far as the keren and the extra and the multiple payments, whether we go according to the original value and in what cases do we go according to the original value versus in what cases do we go according to the current value. So the Gemara continues now with we discussed in the previous sugya, we said that if there's a shinui, if there's a change to an object, then the ganav is koinet, and then therefore he doesn't have to return the original object, just the value of it. So now we're going to discuss the basis for that. Omer Rabba, shinui ksiva v'tanena, shinui koinet, the fact that a shinui acquires the thing for the ganav, that we find a posuk and we find a mishnah that expresses that point. In other words, for example, Rashi says, let's say, for example, a person stole wool and made it into clothing, that kind of shinui, the fact that that kind of shinui acquires it for him, and therefore that he doesn't have to return the actual clothing, just the value of the wool, there's a pasuk that expresses that idea, and there's also a mishnah that expresses that idea. You could say once you have a posik, what do you need a mishnah? But the fact is, we could have darshan the posik differently, and therefore we need the mishnah to back it up. So the point that Rabbah is going to say, this is by way of introduction to another point that he's going to talk about. Now we also can talk about the question of whether yish is koina for the ganav. So a person had something stolen from him, and he gives up hope of ever getting it back. Would that kind of thing also be koinet for him? That Rabbah is going to go on to discuss after he discusses the basis for that shinui is koinet. So ksiva, you have the pasuk because it says veheishav esagzeila asher gozal. It says he should return the stolen object that he robbed. Now matam lema asher gozal. So Rabbah is saying, why does it have to say asher gozal veheishav esagzeila? Sheim kein asher gozal yachzir veim lav domim ba'alma boi shalumi. So Rabba says it means that if the gzela still exists as it is, then he has to return it. If it's still esak gzela, the actual object that he stole, then he's obligated to repay it. But otherwise, then he's obligated to return it. But otherwise, domin ba'ama boi shalumi. Otherwise, all he has to pay is the value. So you see that from the extra words, esagzela in the pasuk. Then Tanena, then we learn a Mishnah that says the same thing. Namely, the Mishnah says later on, and in the ninth parak of our Masechta, when we talk about these dinim of gzela, the Mishnah says hagozel etzim v'ason kalim, a person stole wood and made it into kalim, semer v'ason begodim, or he stole wool and made it into clothing. Mishalim kashas hagzela, he pays according to the value that it was when he stole it. Meaning, as opposed to that, he doesn't have to give the actual keli or the actual piece of clothing. So we see from that that he's koine it, and now he only has to repay its value. Inami or Rabba says, I can show from another Mishnah as well that a shinui acquires the thing for the person. The Mishnah, there's a perek in Cholin that talks about the mitzvah of reishis hagez. You have a mitzvah that you have to give a certain percentage of your annual shearing of wool from your sheep to a kohen, and it has to be the original wool without you dyeing it or making any other changes to it. So the Mishnah describes loy hispik litna loy adshetzavai, if he didn't have a chance to give the wool to the kohen before he dyed it. Then he's potter from giving reishis hageiz because he acquired it with shinui. Now, why does he not have to pay the value of it to the kohen? So Rashi explains because at that it's called momen she'im lo tovim, because any kohen who comes to him and says, give it to me, he has a right to say, look, there are other kohenim out there, I can give it to them instead. So therefore, so not only he'd be kohenet with shinui, but also he wouldn't even have to give it or its monetary value. On the other hand, Rashi says, before he dyes it, misha chotfei zochei boi, any koyin who grabs it is zochei in it, which is a gilui nashas. Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that we have to discuss that point, because after all, it's not so simple to say that a koyin can grab it. In a few months, Bez Hashem and Bava Metzia, we're going to mention this Tosfos and a whole lumdus about it, about the case of tokfei koyin, when a koyin grabs one of the matnas kahuna that he's entitled to, is he allowed to keep it, or do we say that no? Especially if you have a case of Suffolk, whether he's entitled to it. Anyway, it's not so simple, this that Rashi is saying over here, that Misha Chotrei Zochaboy. But anyway, the point is, once he dyed the wool, then now it's Potter. Tosfos points out that what we mean is, even in other words, so he had to begin with enough wool that he would have to give reishis hageiz. There's a minimum amount of wool that he has to have shorn in order to be chayiv in reishis hageiz. Nevertheless, the dyeing it now makes it. What we're saying, Rabbi is saying, you see that shinui makes it his, and therefore he's potter from giving it to the kohen. So we see from all of that alma shinui kohen. So we see very clearly that a shinui acquires the object for the gan. Now continues Rabbah, yush. Now, when it comes to yush, if the owner gave up hope of getting back the object, so we know, says Rabbah, that Amru Rabbanan Denikni. We know the Chachamim say that it is koina for him. Although actually, as the Gemara is going to go on to point out, it's actually not really that simple that everybody agree. In fact, we're gonna bring soon Rabbi Yosef who disagrees. But the point is, Rabbah is saying at least there are opinions, as we're going to learn later on, that say that Yush is koina. However, Rabbah is saying miu lo yadin and ida raisa ida rabbanon. I don't know whether the basis of that is daraisa or drabanon. Ida raisa. Do we say that it is something daraisa midi dahavi amotzi aveda, in the sense that we can compare it to the case when a person found a lost object? Motze aveda lav kiven de miyash monamina mikame de tesel yode. The fact is, with an aveda, if the other person had yush before you got a hold of it, konila, then the finder does acquire it. Now, if there wasn't yield yet, then no. When the finder picks it up to keep it for himself, it's considered stealing. And the Gemara discusses that point in Eila Metzias. And you also have, of course, the famous Machlokas Abaya and Rava. What if you don't know whether he was Miyash? Where in the end the halacha is like Abaya, and that Yush Shalomi Das is not valid Yush. But here we're talking about that if he knows that there was Yush, as the Gemara expresses it over there in Eila Metzias, that he hears the person saying something like Vaylei L'Chisor and Kiss, woe about the loss that I have. I'm not going to get it back, then he's allowed to keep it because of that yush. So we see that yush is enough by a motza aveda to be koina. Hi nami. Well, then by a ganav also. Kivin to miyayish mara koniva. You could argue once the owner is miyayish from it, then the ganav is koina. Tosfos goes on to discuss how exactly we know that point, but anyway, it's a given that that's what it is, that that once the owner is miyayish, then he gets to keep it. Now, it is true, Tosfos points out, of course, by a ganav over here, the difference is that to begin with, he got the thing illegally, at least by a motza aveda, the difference is he got it legitimately because he picked it up, not knowing whose it is yet. And then let's say so the Gemara discusses over there. If he finds out that there wasn't yush yet, then he's obligated to return it. And if he decides to keep it, he's over on several mitzvahs. He's over on lois signoiv and lois sigzo, whatever, and on lois suchalis alim and a couple of other mitzvahs anyway. But the fact is, here the Gemara is assuming that what would we would say like this? The Gemara is assuming the same way as by Metzia. If he picks it up before the guy is miyash, he has a mitzvah to return it. But still, maybe we would say that he only has to pay damim if he decided to keep it. The same way over here, we can assume that it means that if there was yush, he should have to pay only damim. So would we say that? Is that a valid comparison? And therefore, we would say that yush being koinet for him is daraisa. Or maybe we could say it's not really the same thing. Loi damya la aveda, it's not the same thing as an aveda. Aveda hu deki asoy li yodi beheter asoy li yodi, because exactly that. When it comes into his hand to begin with, it's beheter. He picks it up beheter. He doesn't know whose it is, and he has to figure out how we find whose it is, and then we're going to return it. Or do we find that there was yush, and therefore that they doesn't have to return it? Abol hai kivin to be surah soy li yodi. But here, when it comes to the ganav, he got the thing to begin with, the iser. So maybe we would say only midrabbanon. Maybe only the midrabbanon do we say that the yush is kona. And the idea would be the omrabbanon nikni, the chachamim might say that he's kona mipnei takonas ashovim, in order to make it easier as a takona, to make it easier for people to do tshuva, because if they have to go find the actual gneva and return it, it might be too hard. They might be too bothersome, and they might say, you know what, forget it. I'm not going to bother doing tshuva. So therefore, we're going to talk about this point later on in the Masechta as well, about takonas hashavim. We also learned about it in Gittin. So maybe therefore yush by an aveda maybe is kona for the person daraisa. But maybe by gneva not, because of that distinction between whether it came to him be iser or beheter. So that's Rabba. Rabbi Yosef Omer Yush ain't a koina v'afilu midrabbanan. Rabbi Yosef says there's nothing to even ask about. Yush by itself is not koina, even midrabbanan. He would have to give back the actual object itself. I takonas ashavim, Rabbi Yosef says very well, takonas ashavim applies in other cases, but not this one. Well, esve Rabbi Yosef l'Rabba. And Rabbi Yosef says to Rabba, you're telling me that yush by itself is enough to be kona, but I have a contradiction. We learn in a Mishnah later on in our Masechta, in the ninth perek, gozal chometz v'over olva Pesach, a person stole chometz and Pesach passed, and he hadn't stolen the chometz, and he hadn't sold the chometz, rather. And now after Pesach, it's also Bahana. Once Pesach came, it's also Bahana. The Gazlan can say to the other person, here, this chametz is before you, meaning he's yotze, the mitzvah of returning a lost object. It's worthless now. Doesn't matter. This is an example, Rashi says, of hezek she'en in nikur, which we've learned before, that if you have a hezek where there's no physical change to the object. The only change is a ruchniistic one. The only difference is the ruchniistic status of the thing. Then that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. That doesn't affect the fact that he is returning it. Now says Rabbi Yosef, v'hai nigzo kibud mota idan isura. Now consider the nigzo v'hai. This person, the nigzo, kibud mota idan isura. Once the time of the isur comes, once 6 hours on erev Pesach comes, vade miyayish, then he's for sure miyayish because he knows he doesn't have the chometz in his possession. So there's no way that he's going to be able to destroy it or sell it or what have you. So now, if you're going to tell me that Yush is Kona, if at that point this Chometz belongs to the Ganav, and now he's responsible to pay back the actual value of it, what do you mean? What do you mean he can tell you and I'm not obligated to pay? Shouldn't he have to pay him the full value of it because he was Kona? So the being koinet, Rabbi Yosef is pointing out, it has a kula in it in the sense that he doesn't have to go search for the actual object. But on the other hand, here it should result in a chumrah that we would say he was koinet. Therefore, at that point, 6 hours on Erev Pesach, he became obligated to pay the value of the thing to the one it was stolen from. And that still remains the case now. So therefore, he should have to pay the full value.
He should have to pay the full value at the time of the
Gneva. He should have to pay the full value of what it was worth at the time of the Gneva, like we said in the previous sugya. Yeah.
The fact that Pesach came.
The fact that Pesach came. So, I mean, right before. So, yes. I mean, right before that, we wouldn't change that. Omale, so Rabbah answers, Ki ka'amina ano. Yeah, but you know what? When I'm talking about, when I say that the Gazlan is Kona with Yush, that's Zem Mishyash v'zer roitza likness. That's talking about where one person is Miyash, the Nigzal is Miyash, and the other one wants to be Kona. Hi, Zem Mishyash v'zer ene roitza likness. Here, the Gazlan himself doesn't want to acquire it because, after all, he doesn't want to be over. He doesn't want to be over on the issue of having chometz around on Pesach. So therefore, so that kind of yush. So in other words, you can't have a person be koina something baal korchai. You can't have the Gazlan acquires it without him having intention to acquire it. Therefore, Rabbah says that's different. In that case, then this kind of yush of the owner doesn't automatically make it the Gazlan's. But in a normal case where the Gazlan wants to acquire the thing that he stole, and all he's waiting for is the other guy's Yush, then yes, Rabbi Yosef would say, so then yes, Rabbi would say that yes, Yush can be koina for him, and the only question is, Daraisa or Darabana?
But what about the Seis and Pesach? Is the Yush koina or not koina?
What about the what?
This case that we just
mentioned. That's what we're saying. So we're definitely saying that he's not koina, and therefore you can say, Harei Shalach Lepanecha. According to Rabbi Yosef, that's because across the board, Yush is never koina. According to Rabbi, this is a special case because the Gazlan himself didn't want to be koina either.
You can say
it's
not mine, you know.
I means, in other words, after Pesach, he can go over to the guy and say, you know what, I stole chametz from you, I'm sorry, here was your chametz. The other guy is going to say, what good does it do me? I can't eat it, I can't do anything with it, it's all tzvana. Tough luck. The guy can tell him, Harei Shalach Lefanecha, this is the very same chametz I stole from you. It's not my concern that it has a different status in halacha now because chametz
shabbat.
We're saying halachically, he's allowed.
We're going to say he has to pay the value.
No, that's what we're saying. That's the whole point we're saying is that because it's only a hezek chain and nicker, it's a midrabanan. We might make him pay something for it, but at least on a daraisa level, because hezek chain and nicker, lo shmei hezek is the halacha, then therefore we can't obligate him to pay. Yeah. Now, to be sure, I mean, you have, this is the kind of thing that Amman describes. If you see a person who's doing this kind of thing regularly, then Beis Din can do case by case sanctions against him to prevent him from doing this kind of thing again. You can have a person who regularly does this kind of thing, does hezek chain and nicker to people, then Beis Din can deal with it on a case by case basis. Hezek chain and nicker, hezek, which is invisible in the sense that there's no physical change in the thing. It's only a difference in, it's only a change in its status in halacha. Okay. Esve Abaya l'Rabba. So Abaya says to Rabba, I have a contradiction to you that you're telling me that Yush is koin. A braisa says korbonoi. The posuk says that the posuk says that a person brings his korban. Now why? Of course, who else would be bringing a korban? Means v'loy ha-gozel, means not a stolen korban. So if he brings his korban, lav l'rotzen osi, Rashi says it won't come l'rotzen, it won't be something accepted by Hashem. Now, what are we talking about? Hechidami. Ilema lifne yush. Are we talking about that he stole an animal that the other guy had been makdish, and he tries to bring it as a korban before the other guy's yush? Lomali kra. Why would I even need a posik for it? Pshita. That's obvious. That he can't bring it as a korban. And for that, if we're talking about, in other words, where Rashi says that if he stole an animal that was cholin and he, the gazlan, was makdish it, of course not. He doesn't have the ability to be makdish it. It's not his. In fact, Tosfos points out that later on in the perek, we're going to discuss a point and say that in a case like that, neither of them would be able to be makdish it. The gazlan couldn't because not his. The owner can't be makdish it either because not be shusa. It has to be in his possession for him to be able to makdish it. So obviously it can't be brought as a carbon. Evidently, we have to be talking about we stole an animal and it's after Yush. And now we have Yush and Shinu Rishus. We have not only Yush, but we also have Shinu Rishus that it changed ownership because before it was before it belonged to a Hedyet and now it belongs to Hekdish. And nevertheless, the Braisa is saying, based on the Pasuk, Shmamina Yush Loikoni. So you see that Yush cannot be Koine.
It is kind of here.
No, because that's what we're saying, because the Pasuk is saying, korbanet v'lo yihav gozel. Why would we need the Pasuk to tell us that he can't bring it as a korban, even though
he
can't bring it as a korban? That's what we're saying.
Okay.
So, in other words, Tosfos says, if he was koneh, we would consider it his korban. Now, what about the point of mitzvah haba ba'avera? Tosfos mentions briefly over here, and they explain further in the sugya on Samach Zayin Amar Aleph that... the mitzvah ba ba'avera wouldn't necessarily apply over here because since it belonged to him, since it fully belonged to him at some point on the basis of the yush, then now therefore when he's makdish as a korban, that wouldn't prevent it from being a korban. If he's not koneh, then we would say he has the ability to make it. He has the ability to make it kodesh, but nevertheless he can't bring it as a korban. Therefore, Shmamina Yush Laikani. That shows that Yush does not acquire it for him. So how can you, Rabba, say that it does? Omale Rava. So Rava answers back. Rava answers back to Abaya. Velitai Mech, new according to your svara that you're bringing from a case of kodshim, and you're saying that necessarily the braisa has to be talking about a case where he stole a cholin animal and then made it kodesh, because you're arguing that in the case where he stole it after it was already kodesh, then why shouldn't he be able to bring it? Hodatanya, well, consider another case. Says Rava. Consider a case that it says in the Braisa. Another case where the Pasuk says something with possessive suffix with a vav at the end, and we learn from that it means v'loy ha-gozel. Mishkovoi v'loy ha-gozel. The Torah says that. We know that the bed of a zov is metame a person. It makes a person avatoma. And when it says mishkavoi v'loi ha-gozel, means not a stolen one. So again, says Rava, now you have to consider hechidami. What would be the scenario where you'd say that a stolen bed does not become tame by a zov? Ilema de gozel amra va'avde mishkav. If you're talking about that he stole wool and made it into a bed or a blanket or whatever, of course, mi'ikal mando amma shinui maisa laikoni. Is there anybody who holds that shinui maisa doesn't acquire it for him? We're only talking about yush. Shinui maisa, when it becomes a different object, as we said before, that for sure is kind of for him. So there's no question if he had stolen wool and made it into a blanket or into a mattress or whatever, there's no question that it would be kind of for him. So then if the ganav is a zov, or if a zov now goes and lies on it, why shouldn't it be metame? Obviously, says Rava, we have to be talking about he stole a ready-made bed belonging to somebody else. But now it's not his, so therefore, when he goes and lies on it, then it's not considered that he's metame. Tosfos Rid points out there's a logical basis for that. We learn in many places in Shas that we know even from the Mishnayos that we learn for the 11 months and for a Yortzeit that not everything that a person lies on is tummy midrash. It depends whether it's made for lying on. Otherwise, if we tell them amoid v'nasim alachtenu, the kind of thing where we tell them get up, we need to use it for our work, then it's not matami midrash. We have met all the examples of there in that perek. So the same way over here, the Tosfos Rid points out, if the bed doesn't belong to him, then the owner of the bed would say, "Amoid v'nasim alachtenu, get up, we want to use this bed ourselves." So therefore, that on that basis, he wouldn't be able to be matami. With that said, though, Tosfos disagrees with that understanding of the Gemara and says that no, if in fact he stole a ready-made bed, then there's no question it would be able to be matame, because the fact is a bed is a bed. It's meant for that purpose. It doesn't belong to him. That wouldn't change matters. So Tosfos rather discusses, brings the re, what we mean is, for example, that you have, let's say, for example, pieces of leather where they don't need to actually be changed. There's nothing in them that needs to be changed to make them suitable to use as a bed. All you need is machshava. All you need is the mental decision that you're going to, which is actually going to be the next case that we're going to be talking about in the Gemara over here. So here it would be a similar thing where we stole not a ready-made bed, not a bed that was to begin with made for that purpose, but rather a piece of leather which could be used for lying on if a person decides to, but it could equally well be used for other things. The only thing that turns it into a bed for this purpose is machshava, and here we're talking about that the ganav's machshava doesn't matter, because the ganav's machshava doesn't matter, because after all, it's not his. In any case, the point is, though, that Rava is saying, in that kind of case, what are we saying? That the ganav doesn't have the ability to make it metame in the way that the original owner would. Whether, again, according to Rashi, we're talking about even if he stole a full-fledged bed, and according to Tosfos, only if he stole something that is ready to use, but that requires machshava. Be that as it may, the Rambam seems to understand more like Rashi, because he says just gone of Mishkav Yoshev Olav Tomei, that, well, actually he talks over there about Yush, we're going to get to that in a minute, but he just says Gozav Mishkav Doras Olav Tohar, that if there was no Yush, then it's Tohar. It seems by the way that he mentions just a bed without specifying, sounds like he holds more like Rashi in this regard. Whatever the case, the point is that, so Rava says, the same way as over there, Gozal, the same way that when the pasuk says Mishkav Voy, his bed, doesn't mean where he took wool and turned it into a bed. It means where he stole a ready-made bed, or at least a ready-made piece of leather, as Tosfos said. So Hochinami, the Gozal, Korban Nechavre, the same way when the pasuk is saying Korban Noi, it has to be his korban, it would actually be talking about where he stole a korban that was already a korban. The other guy had already been makdish it as a korban, and now he wants to bring it as a korban for himself. Then now he can't do that. The chabre, it belonged to the other person, and now the gazan wants to bring it as his own korban. So the word korban noy is teaching us that even after yush, that doesn't work. Because the rule is wherever the korban is, it's still considered to be in Hashem's possession. So you can't kol hecha de ise be gaza de rachmana ise. Rashi says, bringing from other Gemaras, that wherever the korban is, it's considered to be in Hashem's treasury. So you can't truly say that the guy stole it. Therefore, now when he actually did physically steal it and wants to bring it as a korban, then he wouldn't be able to bring it as his own korban, because it's not considered that he ever took it out from one reshus into another. There was no shinu reshus, because all along it belonged to Hashem. Tosfos points out that really, when it comes to most korbanos, you wouldn't even need a posik for that anyway. You have a basic rule with korbanos that a korban has to be for the person himself who brought it, and for the particular aveda that he was going to bring it for. So Tosfos says, for example, it could be referring to the korban Pesach. A korban Pesach, after all, you have a certain ownership over it, in the sense that you can register other people to join in eating your korban Pesach, and you can even charge them money to join in with you. So we would have to say that even that, nevertheless, even though he has that degree of ownership over it, nevertheless, he still can't bring it as his own korban Pesach. Okay. So Rashi actually brings two pirushim over here on this. The Rashi's first explanation is we're talking about that if he brings it as a korban, even on behalf of the first owner, it wouldn't be a valid korban. So we're talking about Reuven was makdish this animal, and then Shimon stole it from him. Reuven was not miyayish on it yet. Nevertheless, if at this point Shimon brings the animal to the Bais Mikdash and brings it as a korban and says, "Fine, I want to bring the korban on behalf of Reuven," then we would say it doesn't work. It doesn't work, and it wouldn't be a valid korban. Rashi's second explanation was again that he wanted to bring it as his own korban. Tosfos argues on Rashi's first explanation and says the fact is if he were to do it in that way and actually bring it on behalf of Reuven, then it would be considered actually that then he was veheshev as a gzela. He returned the gzela because after all Reuven was supposed to bring it as a korban and he actually did that and therefore that would be that. Anyway, the point is that Rava is saying to Abaya, this case of korbanu v'loy hagozel doesn't contradict the usual idea according to Rava that yirush is kone, because we're saying over here this is a special case why again according to Rashi's first explanation the braisa is they're actually talking about before yirush rather than after, or that it is talking about after yirush, but a korban is a special case because it belongs to Hashem no matter where it is, and therefore the yirush can't transfer the ownership of it. Okay, Esrab by a little Yosef. So Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, "I have another contradiction against you. You're saying so." First, Rabbi Yosef had asked on Rabbah, then Abaya had asked on Rabbah. Now Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, "I have a contradiction on you. You're saying that Yush is not koine, even Dirabanan. But we learn in another case involving Hilchos Tum of Atara, Oris Shabal Abayas, when it comes to skins of animals that belong to a balabais, where he's not intending to sell them or anything, all it takes is machshava for him to decide that he wants to use them for lying on or whatever. So machshava matamasan, his thought that he plans to use them as is enough to make them a kabal truma. But when the skins belong to a tanner, and the tanner himself usually makes them into ready-made leather for other people to use. So in machshava matamosan, so just having the machshava that he plans to actually lie on them as raw skins is not enough to make them mekabel truma, because he's likely to change his mind and decide that he wants to. Rashi points out a bala bayis is not going to sell them to people who are going to make beds or table covers or whatever out of them. So as soon as he has a thought that he plans to use them for a certain purpose, then right away they're makabel truma, as opposed to the tanner plans to sell his skins usually. So he's likely to change his mind and sell them, and then the seller is going to use them, for example, to make shoes out of them. So therefore it's not nigmur malachton. Therefore they're not makabel truma yet. Continues the braisa. It's actually a Mishnah. Shoganav machshava matamasan. If a person stole skins, then his machshava is enough to make them tome, because yush then works. And we assume the Tanakama assumes gneva by definition. Gneva is where the owner doesn't, where the guy did it in secret. So therefore, the owner has no way of knowing who stole it, and therefore he's miyayish right away. Because as soon as he finds that his skins are missing, then he has no way of knowing who stole them. So therefore, machshava matamasan, machshava would be enough to make them a kabel tuma. Shogazlan ain machshava matamasan. On the other hand, if it was a gazlan, then the gazlan's thought to use them to sit on, for example, would not make them a kabel truma.
Because
a gzela, we assume, Rashi says, there's no yush. He knows who took it. Therefore, all he has to do is take the guy to Beis Din, and he's going to get back his skin.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, Rashi explains, even let's say the ganav decided that he's going to use it. Rashi describes, let's say the gazlan might decide to use it. For example, you have a horse or a mule carrying packages, and then you put a piece of leather over it to sit on top of them. Rashi gives an example from in his times, people would use bear skins for such purposes. Nevertheless, there's no yush, and therefore his the gazlan's machshava is not enough to make it a keli. Reb Shimon omer chiluf advarim. Reb Shimon says it the other way around. Shal gazlam machshavim tamosim. Shal ganav ein machshavim tamosim. Lefi shalonis yashra bayim. Reb Shimon agrees with the concept that yirush is koine, but he says on the contrary, with gzela, Reb Shimon takes the view there is yirush, because a gazlan must be a very powerful person. How else could he overpower the victim and take the thing? Therefore, the victim is likely to think to himself, you know what, I have no way of getting it back from the guy. Even if I take him to Beis Din, he's not going to listen to the summons, or he's going to whatever, he's a tough guy, and I'm not going to be able to deal with him. Therefore, he has yush. As opposed to gneva, the person thinks, you know what, I don't know right now who stole it, but I'm not giving up yet. I'm going to find out soon enough who stole it. And then I'm going to take him to Beis Din. So in other words, the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon both agree with the basic concept that Yush is Koina, unlike, which is why Reb Abaye is asking on Reb Yosef, unlike you're saying that's not Koina, they're only arguing where is it more likely for there to be Yush with a Ganav or with a Gazav. Anyway, the point is, Shmamina Yush Koina. So Abaye says, so you see that Yush is Koina. So what are you telling me that not? So Reb Yosef answers, the case that the Mishnah is talking about in Kalim is where he cut off the edges of them in order to smooth out, in order to make. So now you have Shinui Maisa as well, because now this is an irrevocable change. Those strips that he cuts off the end to make it nice and smooth is a Shinui Maisa, and you have Yush. So yeah, Yush by itself is not going to be Koina, that's what I'm saying. But here, what he actually did is he cut all around it in order to make, now Tosfos points out, it's not such a Shinui Maisa, because it's only a minor change. So only together with Yush would it work. But nevertheless, the point is that the reason why it works is because you not only have Yush, but you also have Shinui Maisa. That was the question. It doesn't matter, Gazlan or Ganav. For purposes of Yush, it doesn't matter. The argument of the Chachamim and Reb Shimon is only where is there more likely to be Yush. But anyway, so Reb Yosef is answering that we're talking about Gunsha Kitzon. We're not talking about where the Ganav or the Gazlan just thought about it. I plan to use it for such and such. Kitzon. He actually cut around the edges of them to make it smoother. Maski for Rabba Bar Rav Chanan, but Rabba Bar Rav Chanan asks on that, Vaha Itzba Shanukan. What do you mean? Valo Itzba Shanukan. What do you mean, though? The Mishnah says over here that you're talking about there can be a case where he thought to use them for an itzba. Rashi explains that an itzba is a leather cover that people would eat on. In other words, it could be like a leather tablecloth, or it could be, in those times, it was very common, people would sit on the floor or on mats on the floor to eat. So this itzba would be more like a picnic blanket or something to spread out the food on the ground. That's according to Rashi. Then itzba means that the Rambam on the Mishnah over there in the Bar Tanura brings accordingly, and other Rishonim also bring that it means actually something that you put on top, that you put a cover that you put over the saddle of an animal's saddle to make it more comfortable to ride on. Whatever the case, the Mishnah had mentioned an itzba. The itzba in Surich HaKitzua. And an itzba is not the kind of thing where you need to cut around the edges. Either way, even if it has rough edges, the only purpose of Kitzua is to make it nice. And you don't need that for an itzba, however we define an itzba. And we know that doesn't make a difference. It's not. And we learn in a Mishnah also in Kalim, Kol Mokam Shein Chisorin Malacha, anytime when there's nothing lacking in malacha that's necessary to make a, this is actually the previous Mishnah before the one that we just quoted about Oris Shabbal Abayis. The previous Mishnah says, anytime there's no chisor in malacha, whenever there's nothing lacking of malacha that has to be done to make this into a functional keli, machshava matamasa, then machshava all alone is enough to make it tamei. Yesh chisor in malacha, if there is something lacking, there's something that yet has to be done in order to make it a functional keli, in machshava matamasa, then machshava is not enough to make it makabel tamei. With the exception of an itzba. And why? Because an itzba, even though you haven't cut around the edges, nevertheless, it's still makabel tumah because you can use it as is without cutting around the edges.
The itzba is...
And that's what we said. An itzba, according to Rashi, means a leather tablecloth or a leather picnic blanket. And according to the Rambam and most other Rishonim, it means a cover over a sack.
Okay.
Whatever the case, the point is that we see you don't have to. So you're telling me, Reb Yosef, that you're talking about only when Kitzon and you had that plus Yush, that's enough for the Ganav to be Koinet and therefore for it to be Makabel Tumah. But the Mishnah clearly says that an Itzba doesn't need Malacha. All you need is Machshava for it. Ella, Omar Rava. So rather, Rava says you should know. High milsa koshi ba Rabba l'Rab Yosef esu retired in Shnin. Rabba asked this question to Rab Yosef, or different gira says v'Rab Yosef, that Rabba and Rab Yosef had the question on this for 22 years v'loy ifrika, and they were never able to answer it ad the Yosef Rab Yosef Radesha until Rab Yosef became the new Rosh Hashiva or Parka, and then he was able to answer it. We find in different places in Shas, Rabba was Rosh Hashiva for 22 years, then Rab Yosef took over and was Rosh Hashiva for another 2.5 years. So therefore, so we mean throughout Rabba's entire tenure as Rosh Hashiva, this question kept on coming up, and they never were able to answer it. How taka do we figure it out? That according to Rabbi Yosef, that we would say that Yush is not Kona when based on these Mishnayos that we just quoted, it seems that it is. And then finally, Rabbi Yosef answered the question, Shini Hashem Kishini Maisadam. Because the answer is that changing the name of something, now it has a new name, is the equivalent of a Shini Maisa. Shini Maisa, my timer. What is the reason why Shinui Maisa works when you actually make a change, a physical change to the thing? The reason it works because the Hossam over there, Me'ikra Eitzim Mahashta Kalim. Because, for example, you have something which to begin with was wood and now becomes a Kalim. So, therefore, Shinui Hashem, when it comes to changing the name, even though it's true, you're not making a physical change to it, you're now using it as an Itzba, but still. Me'ikra Korulai Mashka Bahashta Abarzin. Before they called it a skin, now they call it Abarzin, which is the Aramaic equivalent of an Itzba. So therefore, so yes, there is Shini Hashem over here. And there is Shini Hashem, and that together with Yush will be enough to make that difference, but not just Yush by itself. Rabbi Yosef is going to say is not going to be enough to make a difference that he should be coined it. Let's go through a couple of more lines. The Gemara asks, Vare Morish, what about the case of a beam? If a person steals a beam, De'ikah Shinui Hashem, and now you have a change in it, De'me'ikah Kshura V'hashta Klola, it started out as a beam before it's built into a building. Now, once it's built into the building, it becomes part of the roof. It now has a different name. Utnan, yet we learn in a Mishnah in Gittin, that the Chachamim made a takana when a person steals a beam and builds it into a building. The nigzal only gets the value of it. He's not entitled to the actual beam back itself. Because the Chacham made a takana in order to encourage people to do tshuva. Because if the guy has to tear down his whole building, then he's going to be very unlikely to want to do tshuva. We do find, by the way, the Medrash says, as far as the people of Nineveh, that they actually did. They went the extra mile and they would tear down buildings that had stolen beams in them in order to return the actual beam. But that was an exceptional case because they knew they were going to be overturned otherwise. But in a normal case, the Chachamim made a takana that a person only has to return the value of it. So the point is, time of Bnei Takonas Hashovim, only because of Takonas Hashovim are the Chachamim saying that's good enough, Holav Hoki, implying, it seems to imply that otherwise, Hodir Be'enei, it sounds like you would have to return the actual beam itself, even though now it has a new name. And the point is, Tosfos says, even if there's no Yush, if we're saying the small change from leather to itzba is enough to acquire together with Yush, well, then surely a much larger change in name from Morish to a ceiling should be enough to acquire even without Yush. So how is Rabbi Yosef going to understand this? According to Rabbi Yosef, it comes out that the Chachamim had to make a special takana for this purpose, and otherwise it wouldn't work because the Shinui Hashem doesn't help. Rabbi Yosef answers, Morish Shmoy Olav. The answer is because the Morish actually still retains its old name. Even after it's put into the building, it still retains the name Morish. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, regarding something, the Novi Yechezkel sees the third Beis Hamikdash, and he describes the details of the building. And you have a Pasuk where he says that he was shown Tzalois HaBayis V'Ubim. The Pasuk says he was shown the Tzalois of the house and the Ubim. So what are those? Salis abayis elah hamalatatin. The word salis abayis refers to wooden boards that are put around places in the building where you have among other things, you have them as door frames and window frames. You also have them in places where they need to put in beams into the wall or on top of the wall or whatever. They put in a piece of wood there. They put in a king beam or something that then the other beams will rest on that. So those are called salis habayis in the pasuk. Vo ubim elu hamarishis, and the word ubim means the actual marishim, the actual joists themselves that are used to hold up the ceiling, which is marish, is the same marish we were just talking about. So we see that the Morish still retains its name and is still called Morish, even though now it forms part of the ceiling. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef is going to answer that that's different. In that, then, therefore, a Morish itself would have been something. It still retains the old name. Unlike we said, a skin becomes now known as an Itzva, or whatever the Arab or the Aramaic equivalent that we just said. So therefore, that's considered a shinui. That's considered a shinui Hashem. But the change that a morish becomes part of a ceiling, it's still actually called a morish even when it's part of the ceiling. And therefore, that's not shinui Hashem. And therefore, yush by itself wouldn't be enough, according to Rabbi Yosef, for the person to acquire, for the ganav to acquire it, and the chachamim had to make a special takana to say that he should acquire it and not have to return it itself. Otherwise, it'll discourage him from doing trouble. So we'll continue this discussion tomorrow, Best Hashem, about yush and all these things, and then talk about when it's konan, when not. Sure, everyone.